This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, and this is the September 19th meeting of the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee. And Judge Oxney is the chair of the committee. And Judge, if you'd like to call the meeting to order, I can take the roll.
All right, the court will go. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order.
Okay, terrific. And so, Judge Oxney, of course, you are on the line. Judge Bremer from Kern.
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Heinrichs from Humboldt?
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Nakamura from Orange?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Riff from Los Angeles? Okay, we'll try that a little bit later. Judge Rockwell from Sacramento? Okay. Judge Wong from San Francisco, I heard you call in.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Sherry Carter from Los Angeles.
Here. You.
Thank you. Ms. Cameron from Tulare.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Junior from Sonoma.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Kim from Marin. I have a note here that said he had an urgent meeting, and so I'm assuming that Mr. Kim is not able to call in. Is that correct? Okay. Mr. Planet from Ventura.
I'm here.
Thank you. Ms. Sloan from Yuba.
I'm here.
And Ms. Kim Turner from Mendocino.
I'm here.
Great. On the JCC staff side, I have myself, Leah Rose Goodwin, Chris Bololi from Office of Court Research Budget Services, and I also have Savette Hong from Office of Court Research, Lucy Fogarty.
Yep.
And Zlatko. Did Zlatko join today?
I did.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we also have a couple of guests who are on the line to make a presentation on item three, and that's Mr. Jake Chatters from Placer and Mr. Mike Roddy from San Diego.
I'm here.
Great. Jake, I'd heard you earlier. Are you still on the line?
I am.
Thank you. And going back over the members who hadn't responded, Judge Riff from Los Angeles, are you
Judge
here?
Judge Riff is now on. Thank you.
Thank you. And Judge Rockwell from Sacramento, are you here? Okay, let's proceed and hope that Judge Rockwell can join us at a later time.
All right, so thank you, Leah, for taking roll. Let's get started. We've got the minutes from the April meeting. Is there a motion?
Ms. Planet moves approval.
A second?
Heinrichs would second.
Any discussion? Are hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The minutes pass. Thank you. Is there any public comment, Leah?
No, there was no public comment received for the meeting. And, Judge, I'll just ask, we had a request that we take the agenda just a little bit out of order before we move on to the discussion items. I think you want to start first by welcoming the new members, and then we are going to next take item number three.
Right. I agree with that. So I want to welcome our new members, Judge Kirk Nakamura from Orange, Judge Lawrence Riff from Los Angeles, Ms. Stephanie Cameron from Tulare, Ms. Arlene Jr. from Sonoma, and Ms. Kim Turner from Mendocino. Kim is a repeat offender.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To Judge Nakamura and Judge Riff, for me anyway, I've been on this committee since 2006, and the numbers still sometimes confuse me. So I try to get us to talk about it in the simplest terms, but there is no dumb question. I'm sure Ms. Cameron and Ms. Junior, you talk CEO speak, and so you're going to understand all this. But from a judge's perspective, the reason why I became a judge is so I didn't have to deal with statistics, and now I find myself leading a group of statistics. So I always have to take a step back. I always have to have it repeated for me. And so please, if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask them. We welcome your participation, and we're happy to have you. And once you get on this committee, we never let you off. So welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Judge Nakamura. Thanks so much.
Okay.
So, and Judge Rick.
Hi, this is Judge Ruckel. I'm so sorry for being late. I just got off the bench late. Apologies.
Welcome, Judge Rockwell. We're just getting started. All we've done is approve the minutes from April. Unless you have a strong objection, we won't reopen that. and welcomed our new members, and now we're going to move to item number three out of order to assist Jake Chatters and Mike Roddy with their other pressing business. So go ahead.
Great, thanks.
Jake?
All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Judge. So for those that don't recognize my voice, I'm Jake Chatters. I'm the executive officer for the Placer County Superior Court, and at least currently I'm the chair of the GPSIS subcommittee of the Court Executive Advisory Committee. And I'll be presenting today on a dispute resolution process. I don't know, Mike, do you want to introduce yourself?
This is Mike Roddy. I'm the executive officer in San Diego. And I'm also on the subcommittee, but I'm also currently the new chair of the Court Executives Advisory Committee. So I think I'm here to support Jake or answer any questions you might have.
All right, so this item on today is on for your input. We may have some discussion at the end on whether the committee feels like it should be an action item, but at this point we're just looking for your input. SEAC is making a recommendation to the Judicial Council to establish a new dispute resolution process related to the Judicial Branch Statistical Information System, or GPSIS. In your materials on page 7 of the PDF is the brief process. And I'll give a little bit of background first. So first is that the California Rules of Court provide the authority to SEAC, as it says here, to review and make proposals concerning GPSIS. And as part of that, SEAC was looking at some areas where we don't have policy established, specifically around disputes that occur on definitions that exist within the manual. So, as Judge Alcini pointed out, as we get into the statistical work of WAC and others, you get into some nuanced definitions around data, which is not always the same as the nuanced definitions around the law, although similar. And historically speaking, this hasn't really been an issue when disagreements have come up between what someone thought the rules meant under statistical information and what the Judicial Council staff were trying to accomplish by holding to the manual. Those things worked out pretty informally over the years, and that informal process worked pretty well. But as time has gone on, we obviously rely more greatly on GPSIS, since the GPSIS data feeds into the RAS model and into the Judicial Needs Study, which I know you're talking about later. And because that data then feeds into both of those models, it ultimately turns into judgeships, or it turns into money for trial courts. And as that process has moved on, SEAC determined that having a more formal process for disputes in the event it isn't resolved at the lowest level was important, should those occur, since it does ultimately result in money for our individual courts. So in your materials is a SEAC's proposal that is moving ahead to the council. I want to focus a little bit as I'm going to kind of scroll through it. You know, obviously, it talks about the Office of Court Research, which supports your committee as well, is really the support to the GPSIS subcommittee and is the one that is responsible for maintaining the GPSIS data. Every attempt is made by that group to resolve any disputes around definitions before it rises to any higher level. But if they are unable to, starting on the bottom of page 8 of the PDF, I think it's marked page 7, but I think it's page 8 inside the document. What we're proposing here is that a court could raise to the GPSIS subcommittee a dispute that they're not able to resolve with the Office of Court Research. So the process that's outlined here is they would submit a request to OCR. OCR would work with the GPSIS subcommittee to convene a public meeting, provide information to that committee along with the court's unmodified responses and opinions and arguments. The GPSIS committee would then meet. Our subcommittee would then meet and then make a determination. So why then are we here talking to WAC? And that comes down to a little bit further down on page 9 of your PDF. Then it talks about appeals. So we obviously want to make sure there is sufficient due process. We are obviously court systems. And wanted an appeal out of the subcommittee from the GPSIS subcommittee. And after discussion, we debated whether that appeal should go to SEAC proper, whether that appeal should go to the Executive and Planning Committee, and ultimately decided that the better place for it to arrive would be to your committee and actually come to WAC. And the logic behind that is that you're already dealing with the complexities that exist within our various workload studies, which feed off of the GPSIS manual, and so then have a degree of understanding already sort of built in on the importance of the data and how the data has been used historically and what the intent generally is behind some of how we count things. So it felt like it would belong here. It also allows us to take it from SEAC, and while we as court executives feel strongly in our ability to make decisions on data, we did want did see that there was some value in taking it to a committee that included both judges and court execs. And so bringing it to WAC solves that or meets that criteria. And that was really our reason. And so really Mike and I are here today to share this information with you to see whether or not there's any concern from your side related to it so that we can incorporate that in our report to the council, or whether this seems like an okay idea. And so with that, I would just turn it over to any questions.
So, Judge Elsney, this is Sherry Carter. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Since this is listed as a possible action item, I would like to move that our committee fully support this proposal so that when it goes to the Judicial Council, it will show that our committee is willing and able to take on that responsibility. So I would make the motion that we support this recommendation from CS.
Sherry, this is Judge Oxney. First off, the agenda has it as a no action required, and I don't know if that's a procedural glitch that makes it so we can't do that, but let me give you my two cents on it. My feeling about this group, and it has been since I've been in charge of it, is that we take no position, that we are a numbers group and look and do what's in the best interest of the branch. And I don't want to get in the position, unless you convince me to the contrary, that we're taking a position that we want to be somehow in charge of numbers. I mean, I just want us to stay neutral on it. But, you know, I'd open it up to the group if they feel strongly that we should weigh in on this. My guess is if it goes to the council, it's going to get approved unless we say we don't want to do it.
Well, I think that is a good point. My agenda actually listed as a possible action item, so I may have a wrong version or I would not have made the motion. My only concern is that I do think this is the right committee because we have people that are experienced in understanding the workload measurement and have staff that are knee-deep in the process. But I have no strong feeling. It just seemed to me that if it added credibility and it showed the council that we were willing to do it, it might help them. But I don't anticipate there being any objection by the council. I just thought it was a good way to support our willingness to take on the responsibility. But I always defer to you, Judge Elsney.
Well, my take on it is that if this went anyplace else, what they would do is send it back to us anyway, because the numbers are going to get crunched here, and we're the ones that came up with it. You know, so I think it's the right place for this appeal, so I don't not support it. I just didn't think, unless there's a strong feeling among the group, that we should take an active role in it, inserting ourselves in the decision-making. Does anybody else have any thoughts on it?
This is Heinrichs. I think we're the right place. I don't think that we need to take any action unless somebody thinks it should go somewhere else, and then we could weigh in on it. But I do think that we're the right place to be dealing with it.
So this is Kim Turner. So, Judge Alstney, I'm on the small working group that Jake Chatters chairs and have spent considerable time with that working group trying to develop this process. And I agree that WAC is the right place for this to end up. And I don't think there's harm from the Workload Advisory Committee just making an affirmative statement that we're on board with this approach. So I guess that's my long-winded way of saying that I'm not opposed to what Sherry is suggesting. I mean, I realize it's not an action item, so I don't think we can vote on it because this is not a public meeting, right? Am I right about that?
It is a public meeting, and you know, part of part of the confusion might be that we're a little bit shoehorned into the format of these public meeting notices. I don't want to get too deeply in the weeds, but I think we can do it in 10 seconds. We only have two options on these agendas: informational and discussion /possible action. Anything that could some point down the road possibly manifest in an action goes into this category.
Okay.
We are, because we're hearing it for the first time, well, this is excellent for everybody who's new as well. Because we're hearing the item for the first time, we can't take any action today on it. But by putting it on the agenda, if the committee wished to direct staff to come back at a subsequent meeting with an actionable item, we can do so at that time.
So I would just suggest I would
draw my motion. I think that would merely delay it. And I appreciate you clarifying that, Leah. I thought if it was listed as possible action, you could take action. Didn't realize I had to come back. So I withdraw the motion. I think that at the Judicial Council, when it's presented, Mike and or Jake, assuming that they're there to do that, could represent that many of us felt it was the appropriate place or whatever needs to be stated. But I withdraw the motion.
I think it's permissible for Mike and Jake at the meeting to say that we had a discussion about it, was presented, we had a discussion, we looked at the language of it, and that there was no opposition to it, to the concept. But I haven't heard any.
We can do that.
So,
yeah.
Leah, can they do that?
Yes, definitely. And we will help them capture the discussion for the report.
Okay. Does anybody have any opposition to that? It's not like an action item, it's just the whole concept of this, that they want us to represent something differently to the council. All right. Thanks, Mike and Jake, for that presentation. We will move on to item number one, the update on the workload study.
Great, Judge, and I'd like to introduce Savette Hung, who's a senior analyst here in our group, who's going to give the update on the item.
Thank you, Leah. So we're going to first talk a little bit about the pilot study, the main study, followed by what happens after the data collection for the judicial workload study. With regard to the pilot study, we conducted the beginning of this year in April and May, and the purpose of the pilot study was to validate the data collection process as well as the instrument. In particular, with regards to the case types, we wanted to be able to capture more of the case type in this workload study than in the past, so we can map it to the RAS case type as well as to the new GPSIS 3.0, which has expanded categories for family law and mental health. So the pilot study involved two courts, 45 judicial officers, and we were able to collect data across 19 case types, which almost mapped exactly to RAS. We were only missing asbestos and EDD. EDD is unique to Sacramento, and asbestos is a rare event, these courts hardly ever get asbestos, so we didn't expect those case types. And overall, the data we received from the pilot study showed us that the distribution of the data was reasonable and it was in line with what we expect for these data types. So that gave us the confidence to push forward with the main study in the fall.
And so we have some new members on the committee, so I just want to take a moment and say that the focus of the workload study is to update the weights that we use to measure judicial workload. And these weights and this study are the basis by which we have gone successfully to the legislature to request new judgeships. And we periodically have to make updates to the model to reflect changes in the law and technology and case processing practice. And that's really the phase that we're in right now. So with that, you mentioned the pilot, and now you're going to tell us a little bit about the main study.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Leah. So the main study that is happening this fall is including about 20 courts representing small, medium, and large courts. We'll have over 700 judicial officers, and the study will be from October 1st to October 26th. It's a four-week period. And right now, staff at the Judicial Council is training judicial officers to gear up for the study. And once the study is in the field, it's going to be out there for about a month. After the study is done, we're going to do some data cleaning, making computer language more human-readable language, validate the data, analyze it, then come back to this committee in the late spring or early summer 2019 to present the results of the new case weights.
And I want to take a moment to thank all the many of the courts that are represented here on the committee are also participants in the workload study, and I just want to thank you all for I don't know whether to say volunteering or voluntelling your benches to participate, your judges to participate. We've had really good interaction so far during our trainings, and our team has been in the field this whole month delivering on-site trainings to judicial officers and also some WebEx, and I think the reception has been really positive, and I attribute that to those on the committee who have in turn gone back to their benches and talked about our work to kind of make that connection between the statistical and the data work that we do and the work that you do in the court. So thank you for that. So that concludes the update on the judicial workload study. Are there any questions from you, Judge Oxney, or should we proceed to the next item?
I don't have any questions unless someone else does.
Okay, are we ready to take the item two then?
How do you know?
Here you go.
I had you on mute. I'm sorry, Leanne. I was trying to talk to you.
Oh, no.
I was trying to be good and follow the rules, and I didn't know how to unmute it. I'm not in my office, so I apologize. No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, so that sounds good. And so with that, should we move on to item two?
Yes.
Okay. So item two is, again, this is in that our shoehorned agenda. It is in the section for items with potential action. And, again, this is since we're introducing the item for the first time here to the committee, we don't have no action is required specifically. No motion would need to be made on this item, but we are looking for some direction from the committee for next steps. So this is for those of you who have been tracking the budget process, there was an item mentioned in the 2018 Budget Act concerning $10 million in funding that was designated, I think is the right way to say, for court report to provide court reporters in family law. And we do currently, the model that we use to measure resource need in the trial courts measures the need for court reporters in the mandated case types, criminal, probate, and mental health. And also juvenile. There currently is no provision in the model to include court reporters for family law. And secondly, while not in the Budget Act, there was a recent Supreme Court opinion, the Jameson v. Desta, which requires trial courts to provide a court reporter in civil matters for litigants with fee waivers. And there currently is a budget change proposal seeking funding to implement Jameson, but it's in the very beginning stages of that process. So court reporters, again, are not factored into our models for family law and for civil. And so the question is whether or not we should make a modification to the RAS model to include the need for court reporters in those additional case types. Now, in some courts, there are 15 courts that have special designations in the government code so that they do have to provide court reporters in all case types. And so this change would not make any sort of workload change for those 15 courts. But for the other courts, we can make some modifications in RAS at the committee's direction to include court reporters in these other case types. For family law, it might be relatively simple. It's simply applying a ratio that we use to the judicial need in family law. For the Jamison decision, it's a smaller subset of cases, and so that might require a little bit of additional or different type of analysis. So that's the introduction of the item. This was, again, an item that was first heard at the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and at their July 31st meeting, a recommendation was made to refer this item, the question of workload measurement, to this committee for their consideration. And so I want to turn it back over to you, Judge Oxney, and let you determine whether or not you wish to have a discussion about it or give staff direction on next steps to proceed.
Well, it seems, this is Judge Oxney for the record, it seems pretty obvious that we need to have staff look into it. I don't know, does anybody disagree? All the courts are going to be using court reporters in any fee waiver case, and so I think we need to be adding that to our model in both civil and family. Does anybody disagree? Anybody still there?
I agree with you. Yeah, and I think that this is Sherry Carter. I think it's important both for the work measurement, but because that feeds into WAFM, we need to be able to show an accurate gap between our need and our actual funding level, and this will help us as we, you know, move forward in working with the legislature and seeking funding. So I think that I would agree with your statement, Judge Elsie.
Well, it also will justify the $10 million to show that we need money much more than that.
This is Judge Heinrichs. I agree. The one thing, and I don't know whether what the numbers can capture is since that $10 million was supposed to be new money, that we somehow make that designation so there's a way to show the legislature that not only do we need much more than $10 million, but the $10 million has been used in as new money in various courts. I don't know if we can make that part of the model, but if you guys could figure that out, I think that's a good thing, too.
All right. So, Leah, all staff needs is the direction of this committee to look into it and to present the options at the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. That's the direction we're going.
Okay, great. We'll do that. And so when we come back at that point, if we have enough information, then we will make it an action item at that time.
Okay. And those are the items that we needed to talk about. I also wanted to talk about the next steps because we are due for an in-person meeting. Leah and I were thinking about trying to squeeze it in before the end of the year. I'm not sure that's possible now with council meetings and other meetings that are happening. Leo, do you have an update on that?
Yes, I will in a second. And, Judge, this carried over to the next page of our agenda, so it may not be visible right away, but we were going to ask Judge Hunter to give an update on the
1068, yes. Sorry, you're right, Judge Heinrichs.
Okay, so I can make this really quick. The committee has finished its work, and we have one more telephone meeting to approve the report that will be forwarded back to each of the respective committees. So it'll come back to WAC, it'll go to the Trial Court Budget Advisory and to the FAM-JUV committee to eventually absorb it at that time and decide whether we want to add any comments as it goes to the council or not. It took a lot of time in the matter. We have fallen on a workload-based model. We recognize that the GPSIS numbers for family support are not and have not been that great, so there has been changes made in GPSIS that should get better numbers. The judicial workload study has that separated out so that we'll be able to capture better numbers for judicial workload, but we needed to settle on something that could move forward, trying again to protect the small courts from or making sure small courts have enough money to do the business at hand, and so have come up with that. The report will come back in. Leah, when's the report supposed to be completed?
So I think,
I mean,
it's good. I think it's supposed to go on the January council meeting agenda.
And I think that, that I just got the email that says we'll be meeting, having a phone meeting to approve the report on October 9th. So we'll need to, WAC will need to convene to talk about it sometime between then and the Judicial Council meeting.
We do. So, right, that's a perfect segue to thinking about when we might meet again. We need to take, we need to review the AB 1058 work and vote on it as a committee. We also need to look at the 2018 Judicial Needs Assessment, which should be finalized very shortly. And then we need to come back on this issue of the court reporters. And so with all of that, I would say that we would need to get together toward the tail end of October. And I, you know, I'm trying to be judicious in how we deploy our in-person meetings. We may wish to hold a phone meeting to tackle these three items and then meet in person when we're looking at some of the analysis from the workload study, because that lends itself much better to in-person and putting things up on a screen than it does a phone call.
I only want to add one more thing to the AB 1058, and that's we totally left the attorney facilitator funding alone. That was much more difficult in looking at, I think folks are going to try to look at better ways to measure need and look at that, but there wasn't a way to base anything on workload, and so attorney facilitators are being left alone, and that's my report.
Thank you, Joyce. So, Leah, with your comments about having the October meeting being a phone meeting, and then I'm thinking that maybe beginning of January for the in-person?
I think that sounds right.
I just don't think we can squeeze it into December.
No, I think that sounds like a good plan. So we will try to get – I know it's hard to plan for these ahead of time, so we will try to get meeting invites out to the group soon for both of those dates so that we can – hang on to them, and so that's all I have from my end.
All right, does anybody have anything else that they need to bring up?
This is Sherry Carter. I'd like to ask the Tenders what is going on with the Family Law Facilitator, because this request to try to evaluate and provide an equitable way of funding for family law has been going on for almost 6 years. So I know that it's, you know, a job, but it's disappointing to hear that that piece has been delayed again, and I'm curious what the plan is then.
Well, I think, well, part of it, our committee is disbanding, and some of the responsibility is going back to FAMJU. I think the hope was is with the new monies coming in for self-help that would lessen some of the issues. What the problem to tackle was is those smallest courts felt like if there was any kind of direct workload that it would decimate their ability to do what's needed. There's a commitment to look at more remote type work. I mean, Butte County has a pilot, or I'm not going to be the right word, but they're putting together some remote, and so there is the pressure to try to have those smaller courts look at having other resources besides in person. But it was the idea that maybe with the self-help money coming in, that there would not be the same kind of critical need, and so I think they wanted to see that money distributed, and then I think FAMJU is looking at it, because our committee is being disbanded. So, yeah.
Okay. I'll raise my concerns then at the Trump for Budget Advisory Committee, because it was supposed to be a joint committee with FAMJU and Trump for Budget. It started almost 7 years ago, and there are counties that are significantly underfunded with their workload. And the longer we take to try to to make this funding equitable, it continues to hurt a lot of counties. And so this isn't the right committee to raise my concerns, I understand, but I am disappointed that yet again it's being delayed, not with you, of course, Judge, but with the fact that we just can't move this ball down the field at all.
I guess the other thing would be is that they, because of what happens at the attorney facilitator, that it's not necessarily based on filings, that they were looking at finding a way to measure their workload in a clear way to be able to distribute, but that just the filings didn't seem to mirror. And so that was just, it was partly the fact that with the new monies, it looked, we weren't going to get anywhere with it at a joint committee. More work needed to be done. And I do think that this committee had a hard time getting to where we were at this last place, but at least we were able to take care of the funding for commissioners.
All right. Well, thank you, Sherry and Joyce, for that discussion. Anybody have anything else? All right. We're going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting, and we'll send something out to get you the October and January dates. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, God.